me. In me, I've got waters uncharted. In me, you'll get those distances covered.
Is good on killradio.org. with my guest, Jenna Mate. Jenna, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
First, let me say welcome back. We were
honored
to have you on here several weeks ago, and you dropped by for a little performance.
I had the best time with you guys. You guys were so great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We agree. No, I'm kidding. Why don't we just start with the basics? What do you play? You play the piano.
I play piano and do vocals. Basically, I write my music on piano, and it kind of comes from whatever's going on in my life. And I gig around L.A., and I'm actually working on an album right now, my first full-length album, which should be due out this summer.
And these are these tracks that you brought in today?
Yeah.
Those are
these
examples
are fresh
from that album.
Off the press.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you said sometime over the summer is when people can actually buy the album?
Yeah, I'm shooting for June. But as I was telling you earlier, like, I keep writing more and more songs. I'm like, oh, that one should be on the album too. So I don't know. It keeps getting longer and longer. So we'll see.
Well, let's jump into a live song, and then we'll delve deeper into the whole process of what makes up Jenna Mate. And
all
her
right.
music. Oh, by the way, everyone, check out myspace.com/JennaMateMusic, and that's JennaMate
yep.
music. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play Traveling Home, which is sort of a favorite of most of the people who come to see my shows.
And before you do, actually, maybe you could, just for the audience's sake, describe what kind of keyboard you're playing on. I mean, this thing is huge.
Yeah, it's kind of my behemoth, I like to call it. It's a Yamaha P80, which is actually the light version of it.
Wow.
But no matter what, I'm too tiny to carry it, so I'm always like batting my eyelashes at some dude at a club being like, please carry my keyboard up the stairs. But
I feel that way about my DJ coffin.
Ah, yes.
But I don't get the same kind of response when I bat my eyelashes.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's, you know, I've had it for about 5 years. It's kind of like my baby. And I do have an upright piano at home, but this is sort of the one that I just, I don't know, I love it.
Does it have a certain sound quality that's identifiable from other pianos?
Yeah, you know, to me, when I played it, it sounded just like a grand piano to me. So it has like that depth sort of that I was looking for. When I play, I like to imagine I'm sitting at a baby grand. So this is the closest thing to it at the moment.
All right, Jenna Mate on the baby grand here in the Kill Radio studio whenever you're ready.
All right.
Still I have to smile, oh, 'cause of song.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
All right. So, oh my God, I saw American Idol was on the other night, and I almost just said, all right, check it out. But I almost said that, and that's so humiliating. All right, dog. So here, no, kidding.
Oh, I can't even watch it.
I hate it so much.
I can't watch it. It gives me like shivers down my spine. I can't. It terrifies me.
It's so awful. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with you.
Thank you.
I'm always impressed by artists who are not easy to compartmentalize into specific genres. And one thing that I can tell in your music, especially just in your style of singing, is there's little bits of other genres that can pop up in the same song. I mean, there are moments of that last song where it was, you know, clearly there was an R&B influence, mm-hmm. but then there was also maybe even a little bit of a country influence to parts of the song, that just in the way, the style of singing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, pop and contemporary and all these other things. So what sort of goes through your head when you're making music? Are you thinking in terms of genre?
Never.
At all?
No, I don't even know what my genre is. I mean, people ask me all the time how to categorize myself, and I usually spit out 15 different genres. I'm like folk, jazz, pop, blues, contemporary.
Industrial gabber.
Yeah. I never have a clue how to compartmentalize myself, and so it's hard for me also to figure out who my audience is. But I think it's young women and gay men. I'm not sure. That's who seems to
mine too,
respond. Yeah. No, but that's always the problem, I guess, with selling myself, but that's not really what I'm thinking when I'm writing a song. I really like to think about just how it makes me feel. I really write for myself. I mean, honestly, I write because an emotion comes up and I have to work it through. And the way I work it through is this keyboard here. It's like my journal, you know, mm-hmm. I run to it when I'm feeling something. And so usually a song can't even be completed until I've worked through whatever the issue is in my mind. So sometimes a song will reach half point for about a year. I'll leave it alone. And then I'll go, oh, one day, you know, it'll kind of resolve itself, whatever the issue is. And I can finish the song. So it's weird.
Were you raised listening to a lot of different kinds of music?
Yeah, I was actually raised singing in the kitchen doing dishes. My family, we would always sing and dance and do all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, around the dinner table, in the car. And I've been singing since I was like 2 years old. I remember, you know, even every restaurant that we go to, if there was a live band, I would beg my parents, please, can I go up there and sing with the band? And, you know, sometimes I'd jump up there. Sometimes it would take $5 to hand to the band leader. But, yeah, I've always been singing, and music has always been a big part of our lives, especially, honestly, musical theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I grew up loving, you know, to go into Manhattan. I'm from New Jersey. To go into Manhattan and watch all the shows. And I thought that I wanted to be on Broadway as a singer. And I don't know, through a long series of events, I found out that this was actually my calling.
But there is definitely a musical theater element to what you're doing, because you're sort of, you know, you're telling these stories, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not completely abstract.
No, I mean, I think that's still there. I think my roots in musical theater are there. And then I think I just pull from whatever inspires me, you know, whether it's a great old jazz song or whether it's, you know, a new artist that I'm into. So
now you play piano with the same sort of ease that, you know, I open a beer or turn on the television. So how long have you been playing piano? And did you take lessons? How did that happen?
I took like 2 years of lessons when I was about 8 years old. And then I just burnt out on it because I didn't like somebody telling me how to do my art, mm-hmm. I guess. And, you know, through dance classes and voice lessons all these years, all those things where you have to do this a certain way. And this was the first thing I found that was, you know, I can take this and do it my own way. Nobody can write a song the way I can write a song. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something you can really compare. But I did take a few years of piano, and then I really gave it up for a long time and really came back to it in my early 20s and pretty much play by ear. Honestly, I don't even consider myself a pianist at all. I consider myself good enough to accompany, mm-hmm. you know, and that's about it. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then the vocals, you developed that after you had these skills playing playing
piano? Well, I think the vocals came first. I think I grew up singing from the age of two, and that was just something I always did. If I had a bad day at school, I would walk around humming or singing to myself. It's just something that comes really naturally to me. I just love singing.
But as you've gotten older, your vocal quality has, you know, developed into something more professional.
Yeah.
Did you do things to work on that, or did that just happen naturally?
No, I had an amazing mentor. I had a wonderful voice teacher who actually started training me as a classical singer in opera. And then we moved into musical theater and then eventually into pop. But she was my mentor for many years, and a woman by the name of Joyce Keschner. And she just totally helped me go from girlhood to womanhood, and vocally and spiritually. So
nice. Yeah. Let's listen to another track from the CD that you brought in. We get this rare exclusive peeks into the album. Do you have a name for the album yet?
I think it's going to be called, don't steal this, all you musicians out there. Self.
That's a good name.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be called Self-Entitled.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What track should we play?
I think we should play Firefly.
All right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Jenna Mate. Stick around.
She takes off in flight, then has to pay. Oh, don't you know that dreams can be broken when dodging from closed hands? It seems you're the token drifter of the land. And firefly all through the night, on and off, but we love your light. Restless with magic and headed for the trees, with a beauty so tragic it leaves you begging on your knees. Don't you know
back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Jenna Mate. Jenna, this is the tracks we're listening to from your forthcoming CD. Is this your debut?
It is, yeah. I had a 4-song demo that I put out a couple years ago, but this will be my first full-length album, so I'm very excited. And I'm working with an amazing producer, Michael Bazar, who is an amazing guitarist and bass player, and he just adds in so much depth with his music. So it's incredible.
Let's talk about playing live. Describe for me, if you will, the first time you got up on a stage with your piano.
Oh my goodness.
And with the microphone, you said, "I'm Jenna Mate."
I think it was this crazy notion that myself and three of my friends had in college, our senior year. We were all kicked out of the musical theater program, and subsequently, a couple of us became singer-songwriters.
I have to ask, how does one get kicked out of a musical theater program?
Well, ours was a really tough conservatory, you know, program, and they just said to me, you know, we don't think that you can sing, honestly. They said,
oh, they so it was about what they wanted as,
yeah,
as a musical theater performer.
Yeah, I didn't fit into the mold. I didn't kick up my legs and, you know, twirl my hair. I don't know.
Clearly a blessing in disguise.
Very much a blessing. So I ended up locking myself in these little piano rooms, and I was so upset that I had been, you know, taken out of this program. And so I just started writing music, and before I knew it, I was in those rooms for 4 or 5 hours a day. And then one day, I think I just peeked my head out the door and said, "Hey, do you want to come and, you know, listen to this?" So
just to like some friends.
Yeah, and people were like, "Hey, you actually can write a song." Okay, so anyway, that's really how it got started. Besides sort of some little writings when I was a little kid, but myself and these three other girls decided to put together this show, and we called it Striving for Serenity. And we actually wrote a song. It was like, striving for serenity, time and time again. It was really pretty. Anyway, we wrote the song, a collaborative effort. And the four of us got together, and basically it was my first gig. It may have been my other friends, I'm not sure. But I just remember how incredible it felt to be in this little tiny cabaret space. We got all dressed up and, you know, just playing my live songs. It was like opening a diary and letting people read it, and kind of disappearing into the art instead of being so aware of what I was doing every second. Mm-hmm. Playing live for me, it was like, oh, I can escape into this song and have my own experience.
So did you feel that, I mean, was there also that uncomfortable element that you're revealing too much or exposing yourself to something?
A little bit with certain songs that I think were more personal, but on the whole, I think it felt more comfortable to me than anything I'd ever done before. It just felt like home.
Now, much later, as you continue to pursue music in a more professional capacity, And then you entered the dark and sinister world of gigging in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Describe that, you know, taking this very personal thing, mm-hmm. opening up your diary musically, and then doing it in a place where, you know, people are drinking and talking. And how did you sort of, you know, you need to develop a certain kind of thick skin, but not so thick that you can't communicate with your audience anymore.
Yeah, you know, it never bothered me to the extent that I've seen it bother other musicians. Because like I said, I just kind of disappear into the experience. And so if people want to talk, they want to talk. It's okay. I mean, I prefer it if it's not the people who actually come to see me, which very rarely happens, you know. But honestly, most of the gigs that I play are pretty small environments, and mm-hmm. I choose them because of that. And so usually it's people quiet down when I start singing. And
so you know that it's an intimate...
Yeah. Thing. And when it's not, it's okay. You know, people are out to have a good time. And if I'm there... being able to do what I love for an hour, that's a gift for me. So, yeah.
Why don't we go into another live song?
Okay. I'm going to, I think, premiere, actually, a new song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually finished writing it, well, pretty much last night, because I really wanted to play it today. It's called Bloom, and it's one of the first love songs I've ever written, so I'm kind of excited.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have this exclusive premiere of Bloom live in the Kill Radio studio right now. My guest is Jenna Mate. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jenna Mate, myspace.com/JennaMateMusic. Beautiful, again.
Thank you.
Of course. And we were talking a little bit before about genre bending and not being put into certain categories.
Yeah.
But inevitably, certainly after you release this album, they're going to have to put it somewhere in the store.
I know.
And then you're going to have radio stations deciding what it is and what it isn't. And I know, just from talking to you before and during this interview, that something you don't want to happen is to just be sort of painted into a corner as just like adult contemporary or something that, that they use for something that isn't about your music, you don't want to be walking through the grocery store and hear, you know what I'm saying? Like
on an elevator hearing the Muzak version of
exactly.
Traveling Home.
So what are some of the things that you do as a writer to kind of preemptively defend yourself from being put into a category?
Well, my producer and I have been working really hard on this idea. Every time we approach a new song, we're trying to get that element of the live performance into it, because when I play live, I take a lot of more liberties rhythmically and musically, and we're trying to get that sort of rawness into the CD, if not rhythmically, then vocally and musically, so that it doesn't lose its luster. Mm-hmm. That way, because one of my biggest fears is that, and I've had other producers do this to me, they stick a backbeat behind what I'm doing and all of a sudden it becomes a Britney Spears song. So
right.
That's really not where I'm headed, and I want to sort of keep the authenticity of the original song and how it was written.
Do you, when you write a song, you say most of your songs are about things that are going on in your life and you use it to get through those things.
Yeah.
Do these things happen to you and then you have to, rush to find a pen and, and write them down?
Well, they usually happen at a really opportune time. Like I'll be driving and some lyric will pop into my head and I'll have to, swerve over to the side of the road and dig through my, glove compartment to find a pen and then a scrap of paper, receipt or something.
Should get a micro cassette recorder or something like that.
I really should. but yeah, I mean, sometimes it'll happen in the middle of the night, 2 mm-hmm. in the morning. Wake up, oh my God, I have to finish the song right now. So it has more of an urgency to it, I think, when the idea strikes. So.
And then when you record them, do they go through many changes from that
yeah.
start? Or can you just write the song out and there it is?
the songs that have been my favorite have come out all in one moment, usually within a couple of hours. Those are the ones where I'm like, okay, that just flowed right out of me. But then once I bring it into a recording session, it's sort of a collaborative effort figuring out, how are we going to frame this? Are we going to put a jazz drum behind it? Are we going to put a pop drum behind it? And it completely changes the sound of the song.
Right.
Do we use acoustic guitar, electric guitar? It completely, it's amazed me how different my songs can sound, due to production. So.
Do you enjoy the recording process, or is it sort of like something that you know you have to do as an artist?
You know, it's really a labor of love, I would say. It has its moments where, you know, you leave and you feel like, wow, I just finished that song and I'm really excited about it. And then there's moments when you leave and you just didn't get the vocal. It wasn't happening that night. You know, you weren't gelling, you weren't communicating the right way, whatever it is. So there's moments in the studio that can be really frustrating and it can really ruin your night. And then there are moments where you feel elated.
And then the other side of that is when you're performing live, what do you get out of that? Like what does your audience take away? Do they come up to you after the show and say, oh, this lyric meant something to me, or?
Yeah. My favorite is when a young woman will come up to me usually and say, oh my God, I just went through something like that. Thank you so much for writing that song.
Or a gay man.
That's my audience. No, I really love it when people come up and they express to me that something meant something to them.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when I play live, almost always it's a great experience. Even if it's not my best gig, it just feels like such a privilege to me to be able to have that time to be an artist. Because in LA, as you know, it's really competitive. And just to be able to have that slot of time and for just that moment to be exactly where you want to be and doing exactly what you love to do is so amazing. So no matter what, it's always great. You know?
Well,
my boyfriend would say it's like sushi. It's always great, you know? He always says sushi and ice cream are the two things that no matter, you know, what you're doing or where you're eating it, it's always good.
Or like, yeah,
bad sushi
you hear
is always
about
good.
Pizza. I don't know that he's right about sushi, but
well, I guess if it's bad sushi with make you sick, but
no, but obviously, I mean that positive attitude is something that you have to carry around with you if you're going to perform in this town. Otherwise, you're just going to get bitter and jaded, and then and then that's going to come through your music.
Exactly. I mean, I really just do it. Like I said, it's more of a therapy for me. I love when people enjoy it. I love that they listen to it, and I really love looking out into the audience and sort of picking one person and singing a line to them and seeing how that makes them feel or react. That's always exciting too.
Why don't we listen to another track from the CD that you brought in? What do you suggest?
Okay, let's do Fairy Tale. This is one of my favorites.
Tell me a little bit about the song before we play it.
This song was sort of a play on a bunch of different fairy tales that I sort of melded together. And the whole song is really about, there's this lyric in it, everything's going to be all right. It's sort of about how the end of a fairy tale, everything is okay. It's sort of about reaching the end of your fairy tale and everything being okay and sort of convincing myself through this song that everything's going to be all right.
I hope you're right about that. We're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Genemate.
Superstar, I am in life what I seem, and I don't need to run very far, it's all right here in my dreams. But I'm afraid of the big bad wolf, the house of bricks I lay. Poison apples in my hand.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Genimate. And actually, well, we were just talking while we were listening to that song about, you know, playing songs, that different songs, that, you know, so you don't always do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about that, like, on this album, are we going to hear different, you know, this song is a happy song, this song is more mellow? And
you definitely will. I mean, there's going to be some more upbeat songs I'm going to be putting on there. And then there's going to be like a real torchy jazz song, which mm-hmm. I'm going to play for you live here. So I'm definitely going to try to vary it enough that it doesn't all sound like the same song over and over again. Hopefully not.
And is that your live performances like that as well? Like,
yeah, when I play live, I really try to vary it. I'll do like a couple of upbeat songs followed by a ballad. And usually I'll play with a guitarist and a great percussionist. So that kind of adds a little bit more flavor to the experience. So
you always have, do you have what one would call a band? Or is it just you have some people that play with you when you gig out?
I've got friends. I don't have a band. I tried the band thing and it just didn't really work for me. I didn't find that musicians were consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So now I really call upon people who I'm friends with to come and sit in for a gig and play guitar on a couple tracks. And now we've done it enough times where I can, you know, show them a list of songs and they've already done them, so they really know what they're doing.
And in the studio, you have several musicians, or you just your producer brings
it's really
the other
myself
sounds?
And my producer. I've brought in other musicians in the past, but honestly, he's such a virtuoso. He can play every instrument. So
wow.
He's a one-man band.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what would you like to play for us now? We were
talking
I'm going to
play
this.
That torchy jazz song, I think,
okay.
to give it a little different. It's called Tame You. And it was really written a couple years ago, but only finished, I think, a few months ago. So I've really only been playing it out live recently. So I'm kind of excited about it.
What's it called? Tame You?
Tame You.
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Genimate live.
Just 'cause I'm on your mind. I don't want you to love me just 'cause I'm there. I just wanna want you, and I don't want you to really care. 'Cause in time, no, I don't know. I'm going so slow to be mine. baby, love me forever, and I'll treat you fine. Baby, be my lover, I will be your queen. Just let me tame you day and night and in between. 'Cause time, no, I don't know. I'm going so slow to ever dare to adore. Oh, but I won't blame you. If you're coming back for more.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jenna Mate. Jenna, do you have any live gigs coming up soon?
I do. I've got one at the Derby with Nikki Hong on May 9th. We're doing sort of a joint girl night. And then I'm doing a benefit for killradio.org.
Ooh, what's that?
May 20th. It's this great little radio station. We're going to be doing, a bunch of bands that have been on here are getting together, and we're going to raise some money for
these
this.
These are actually bands who've been on the Monday submission show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, of which you are also one of those.
Yes.
And because I also do Is Good Music Nights, which are different nights from that, okay. Aren't benefits. But yeah, Mark has put together this great thing that I've been helping him with, where once a month we descend upon Lost Souls Cafe downtown and yes. Take some of our favorite guests and artists who've participated in the Hear Hear show.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to hear the other artists, and it's always nice to raise money for a cause. I love doing that. I feel like that's why we're artists anyway.
Yeah.
You know, got to do something with it to add to the world.
Well, we certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the Derby, that's a pretty cool venue. That's a nice stage, sound.
I guess we're doing a show in the VIP room. I've never been to that area, so I think it might be a little more of an intimate space that we're going to be in.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they have that other room. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be in there, and I've never played there before, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. It sort of deviates from my normal routine.
How often do you usually perform live?
You know, I try to gig out about once a month. And any more than that, it's tough to sort of get the LA crowds to rouse from their couches.
Yeah.
So I usually try to do once a month, sometimes twice a month. But next month, there'll be two because of the Lost Souls Cafe.
Cool.
Yeah.
And When this album comes out, are you gonna maybe do like a barrage of live performances to promote it?
Yeah, I will. In fact, I'd like to do a CD release in LA as well as in New York, because that's where I'm from, and maybe some kind of mini tour to sort of kick it off and see what happens.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It'll be fun.
Are you just gonna sell the CD at your shows, or are you anticipated being on iTunes and all of that?
I'm gonna go for iTunes. I'm also gonna be selling it from my MySpace page, and really in any other channels that I can find. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, let's listen to another track.
Yeah.
From that. Actually, you know what? I think we're almost out of time, actually. So why don't we instead do another live song?
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah. That'd
and
be
then
great.
We'll end on a track from the
okay,
CD.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to do this song called Work in Progress.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jenna Mate.
Wonderful to meet you. Don't think I'll be staying long, but it's nice to greet you with a song. You look at me with eyes so running through your mind. But the harder you look for me, the harder I am to find. Wonderful to meet you. I never said I'd be staying long. But it's nice to leave you with a song.
Jenny, you clearly get so much out of performing. Like, that's, you really enjoy it. But it's a lot of work to be a professional musician and sell a CD and do all these gigs and everything. So, on the professional side of things, what do you want to get back from it? Like, where do you see yourself landing, and how will you know when you've made it as a musician?
Honestly, when I can do what I love and be able to live comfortably by doing what I love, that's, to me, making it. My goal is really to play my whole life, to write my whole life long, and to be able to provide for myself and others by doing music. And if that goes somewhere further, that's wonderful. But I just really want to be able to somehow get my voice heard and put my thoughts out into the world and hopefully affect some kind of positive change through my music.
That's the right answer. No,
thank you. Yeah, that's really how I feel. I hope that someone somewhere can be touched by what I do,
right.
Honestly.
So things like playing for stadiums with thousands of people, and
I won't deny that. Sure, I'll take it. You know, I'll take whatever comes. But my goal has never been stardom or celebrity. It's really been about being an artist. I just love being an artist, and I find it to be such a privilege to be able to do it full time. And if I have the opportunity to do it full time, that will be making it for me.
Awesome. And are you in the process, do you think, of sort of building your audience? And do you see a lot of the same people at shows now?
I do. I see a lot of the same people at shows. And every show, there's usually like a new person who will walk up to me and kind of say, hey, I'm new and I really kind of liked that. And they'll join my email list. And sort of that's how it goes. But all the time, people are sort of coming in. And on MySpace, it's funny. I only joined MySpace a couple months ago. And the first couple months, all these people from France were contacting me. Apparently, the French love my music. So I guess
Paris women and
tour,
gay men. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. Women, gay men, and French.
And the French.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe there'll be a Parisian tour in the future. Who knows?
Oh, that would be exciting.
That would be lovely.
Let's end on... let's sign off with one more track from this CD. And just a reminder, it's myspace.com/JennaMateMusic. And then you also have JennaMate.com. Is that?
I do, but it's actually being reworked right now.
Okay.
So the best place is at MySpace. But as far as this track goes, it's called Heaven's North of Here. And I wasn't originally going to play it today, but in the wake of what happened at Virginia Tech and everything, I'd like to play it sort of as a tribute to the friends and families of the people who died that day. This song was actually written by myself and a friend of mine, and she wrote it for somebody who had HIV and passed away. And she wrote the lyrics. It was originally a poem, and then she handed me the poem, which I thought was such an amazing thing to entrust with me.
Yeah.
And I turned the poem into a song. And kind of came out that way. We actually used it for a play she directed with a sort of montage of pictures of her friend. Her name's Molly Hardy. And I wasn't sure if I was going to put it on the album, but I think it's going to sort of be that extra track.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little somber, but it's sort of a tribute to those who aren't with us anymore.
Jenna, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it so much.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. If you want to hear this again or you want to tell someone about it, it will be available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com. Also podcasting on iTunes, so look out for that. This is Jenna Mate with Heaven's North of Here.
The final restless wind. You set your sails to sail again. Point your bow for lands unknown. Bravely sail on home. Cast your sights towards morn.